Kirk Cousins made a mint off that, and then he gave it all to charity, I believe, is what he did.
What a good man.
That's, every time we play that open, I laugh. Take that.
My favorite lock him in line, I don't remember which open it is. Talk about putting it in your face.
What are we? Are we talking football stuff? I doubt the NFL's given the $40,000 or whatever they made last night to charity. I don't know how many people they crammed in there, but if it was thousands of people, every thousand people would be $27,500. They probably made $100,000.
You know, they were also selling concession food, and they were probably selling some merchandise out in the lobby. I didn't see it, but I'm sure they were.
No, I'm sure, because we were ushered in through the secret media entrance and teleported to the floor.
Did
of
anyone
the
notice
San
if
Jose
there was
arena.
Any beer being sold last night? I didn't look intently.
But I didn't see anyone holding a beer or anything like that.
No.
I wasn't really paying attention to the crowd until we saw Super Bowl Wayne. Super Bowl Wayne is kind of a Radio Row legend. I met him back in Jacksonville back in 2003, whatever it was, Super Bowl 39 was at January 2004. And Wayne, at this point now, he's gone to 33 Super Bowls, 33 games. So he's covered a bunch of them out of the 49 that have been played so far. And he was from Honolulu. That's what set him apart, right? And last year was the first year after coming forever, they just denied him a credential. Like, out of the blue, is the strangest thing. So he said, Dems, can you get me some day passes so I could come to Radio Row? And so we did, and it was no problem. So last night, Tony, you saw him, but we're both wandering out the SAP Center, and I hear, Mike Dempsey, from the crowd, and it's Super Bowl Wayne with his ponytail, and they shut me out again. So he had to buy a ticket for $27.50 to come in and watch last night. That was about the extent I paid attention to the crowd, except when Jerry Rice got up there.
Goodness.
If you watched it at all last night, I actually thought it probably would have made for a pretty cool TV production the way they did everything.
I thought NFL Network did a really good job with it. The stage entrance was kind of cool for everybody, you know, introducing the guys that are going to get their own podium and then the whole team and getting an opportunity. I know we tweeted out some photos of that kind of thing going on last night. And the NFL Network was in an elevated stage, so they were kind of above all the action, so all the fray was going on underneath them.
They were, planted right in the middle of a section, like in the audience.
Yeah,
right.
It was cool. It was really cool. And so they were having players come up on the stage, and when Jerry came out, it went pretty crazy for Jerry.
Right. I looked up you here because you were interviewing Jericho Cotchery.
Yeah, you're probably
distinctly.
Hearing. Like, when we play the Jericho Cotchery interview, you'll probably hear the chants for Jerry.
You had to lean in so he could hear you, and I turned around to see what was going on. Jerry's up there with a jersey on, his number 80 jersey, and after taking all the adulation from the crowd, he took the jersey off and handed it to a fan. I believe that fan brought that jersey, and being San Francisco, hoping to get a glimpse of Jerry Rice and maybe get him to sign it. Instead, Jerry wore it for him, which is pretty darn cool.
That is cool. No, that's pretty awesome.
And, surprising. They really like Jerry Rice out here in the Bay Area, but he was definitely a hit last night. I will say this. It was a long, hot bus ride, right?
Yeah.
They like their heaters here. And by the way, have you noticed they turned the AC on this morning?
Yeah.
We walked
nice,
in this morning into a heat wave.
Asking you shall receive.
In the Moscone Center. Demand, Tyler, and we hopefully receive. But it was so hot on the bus, but we got there. That was the best venue that they've ever done Media Day. I got to say, they did a terrific job with it because you need space. Typically, it's a sardine can. You're trying to wedge your way in between all the other overweight media members like me. And, last night, plenty of space. They only had 10 players, and the head coach have podiums. In the past, they've had as many as 15 up to 20 podiums, and they take up all the space. They're doing these in the arena. They used to do them in the actual stadium that the game was going to be played on.
Yeah.
And they basically split the field in half, and you'd have all this room on the sideline to do your business. And so they really made it easy on us last night, and the result was we got a chance to get some one-on-one time with a lot of the various players that are going to be playing in Super Bowl 50 coming
including
up.
Some pretty high profile
the
guys,
clapping
yeah.
has begun this morning already.
And shine.
Just over my left shoulder. Today, as a matter of fact, every day this week, we're brought to you thanks to the good graces of the folks at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church that pay the freight and expenses to make these trips to the Super Bowl possible, and we appreciate what they're doing. And we partner with them to raise money for Wilson's Children's Hospital all week long. We'll be making a nice donation to Wilson's on their behalf. Coming up at the end of the week, also travel and hotel accommodations provided in part by Kevin Green certified public accountant. Today, Tony, the lineup on the program, if we have time to get everything in and if nothing pops in on us out of the blue, we sat down yesterday with the chairman of the Super Bowl host committee, Daniel Lurie, and the CEO of the Super Bowl host committee, Keith Bruce. So they'll kind of kick it off as they're the official hosts of the week. So we'll hear from those guys coming up next. Then we'll hear from some of the Denver Broncos, Bubba Caldwell, obviously former Gator, C.J. Anderson, Malik Jackson, Darian Stewart, all those guys. We'll hear from a bunch of the Carolina Panthers as well. Jericho Cotchery, I'm so glad you got a chance to talk to him, Tony, because you know what happened. Rookie move.
You were beating yourself up about this one.
I was so mad. Jericho Cotchery was a great interview. I'm sure Tony's interview is going to be fantastic because this guy was just very thoughtful, you know, didn't give the quick answers. And I'm doing this interview. I'm like, wow, he is really good. I've never talked to Jericho Cotchery before, but this is going to be great. And I look down, and I've got a recorder where you hit the button, and it puts it into pause, and you can see the little levels moving, and I never hit it again to start recording. So I realized that, and instead of asking any more questions, I said, thanks. Good luck on Sunday. And I walked away with my head hung low. But Tony was able to catch up
with
Jericho
Cotchery.
It's
not your worst radio row moment.
Oh, no. No, the worst was, and I still don't remember who it was. I never knew who it was. I interviewed a San Fran when they played Baltimore the last time. I interviewed a San Fran offensive lineman and thought he was a defensive lineman, or vice versa. I'm still not sure what I did. But
The whole interview.
And he was so cool about it. And he realized I thought he was someone else, and he just kind of went along with it and didn't burn me. That was kind of nice of him. Bad on my part. So you hear from Jericho Cotchery. Charles Tillman, even though he's on IR, Charles Tillman, borderline Hall of Famer, really. You look at maybe not even borderline.
One of the best guys ever to punch out balls.
Just absolutely a turnover-making machine. Kelvin Benjamin, another injured player, but certainly got the Florida State tie. We'll hear from him. Star Latulele, Graham Gano, another Florida State player on the Carolina Panthers. And then if we have time, Sylvester Williams as well, defensive tackle for the Denver Broncos. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk is going to stop by live today. That makes Jaguar fans' hearts sing, doesn't it? I mean, nobody quite gets him going like Florio.
Well, we're walking out with him, and he's like, I haven't said anything bad about Jacksonville in about a month.
In about a month, well, they must love me down there.
I haven't seen Florio in a year. I see him at the Super Bowl every year, and he's like, oh, yeah, I know this guy. He always hassles me about me hassling Jacksonville. And I'm like, I don't feel like I do that, Mike.
I don't either, but he's a little sensitive about that, I think. So Mike will come by. So feel free to turn your radio dial if you must at 11:15 Eastern time this morning. Otherwise, that's when you'll hear from Mike Florio here on Jaguars Today. Big Country is back in Jacksonville running the ship. We've got a lot of activity going on today. Not here on the floor at the moment. We did get up at what did we get up? We got on the shuttle at 5:15 outside the hotel.
You were up at 4:30.
Yeah, 4:15, 4:20.
Something like that.
We called it a night at midnight last night.
We did, right. Which, you know, 4 hours sleep, that wasn't the worst. We got here early because Rick Barry is supposed to be arriving at 5:30 Pacific time to do interviews. Anyone seen Rick Barry?
Huh? No.
Anyone seen Rick Barry?
Not so much.
This might be the 1 out of 10 free throws that he's missed, I think. I don't know. Maybe Rick Barry will pop up today. Who knows? But we got a good lineup for you coming up either way. We are live at the Moscone Center in San Francisco, California, one day closer to Super Bowl 50. Jaguars Today continues in a moment with the host committee chair and CEO next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Super Bowl 50, San Francisco is the locale that is hosting the golden anniversary of the Super Bowl. And sitting down with us, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you on 1010XL. We have Daniel Lurie is the chairman of the Super Bowl host committee. And Tony, I found out that a chairman may be able to fire the CEO, because we've got Keith Bruce here with us, the CEO of the Super Bowl host committee. And this tells you my knowledge of business, gentlemen. I said, so you're the CEO. You can fire him, right? And you said, no, I'm not really. It's about the complete
around.
Opposite. Yes. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
We're beyond that with 6 days to go.
I think you're good.
I think we're good.
Are you happy with your selection?
Keith and his team are world-class for a world-class city, world-class event. They've done an amazing job, and I think we made a good decision.
You chaired the bid to get Super Bowl 50 here, right? What do you feel was the major selling point or points that enabled you to be successful?
Well, I know you guys just hit town, but what better place to come than the San Francisco Bay Area? We have it all, whether, you know, it's arts, culture, wine, food, technology. We feel like we have a lot to show off. And in the middle of winter on the East Coast, it's nice and sunny out here and not too cold. And then we have so many things going on in this community, and we brought everyone together. We had to get four mayors on board. And then I have to be honest, who doesn't want to come play at Levi's Stadium? Jed York, the Niners, $1.3 billion stadium that is beautiful. We're excited to show that off to the world. The Super Bowl doesn't come here without that stadium.
And it's not just the Super Bowl. This is Super Bowl 50, which right. is obviously an even bigger deal. It's that golden anniversary of the big game, and that has to be a selling point, too, trying to figure out where to put America's game, what American city is going to get the honor of being able to do that.
Well, and you just said the right word, honor. We bid on Super Bowl 50. Daniel put together a great team to convince the NFL owners and the NFL that, hey, we were worthy of hosting the 50th Super Bowl. And we knew when you turn 50, it's a big deal, right? And we knew the NFL would be putting a lot towards the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. And we just thought the Bay Area, what a great place to host it. We haven't hosted a Super Bowl in over 30 years. So it'll feel new. It'll feel like a different type of Super Bowl presentation. And then everything that's great about the Bay Area, right? We're known for our innovation, our technology, our food and our wine, our music. You got a little bit of everything that's also part of Super Bowl. And so when you think of the totality of it, we just felt that the Bay Area would be a fantastic place to host the game. But we also want to get on the rotation. And that's probably the worst-kept secret in the world. We don't want this to be a one-and-done. We want it back here in 5 or 6 years. We want to be there with the Miamis and the New Orleans. And we want the Bay Area to shine this week. We opened up Super Bowl City and NFL Experience this past weekend. You know, tens of thousands of fans coming in, mostly locals. And then we welcome the rest of the country, you know, starting today. And we think it's setting up to be a great week. And we know the NFL is super excited to be here for the 50th.
Man, Keith keeps referring to the Bay Area. It's not just the San Francisco Super Bowl. Obviously, right. A lot of the stuff is happening in San Francisco. The games in Santa Clara, media night on Monday night in San Jose, and other events as well. I mean, how much was that part of the appeal, not only for you guys to want to show off the area, but for the NFL as well to say, wow, we have a lot of diverse venues?
Well, I think from day one, stadium was not in San Francisco, but 18,000 hotel rooms are. This convention center where we're sitting at Radio Row is here. Simply put, we couldn't pull off the Super Bowl without Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, and Santa Clara couldn't pull off a Super Bowl without San Francisco and San Jose and Oakland all coming together. And so from day one, it's something that the whole region has been able to agree upon, that this would be a great thing, and that's how we made it work.
Yeah.
Obviously, San Diego is one of those cities that has been in the rotation for the Super Bowl before, but there are challenges being on the West Coast compared to being in New Orleans, Miami, those East Coast time zones. How are you guys approaching that, especially with some of the East Coast town? I know Mike and Mike, for instance, not able to be out here because they'd be broadcasting at 2 a.m.
Right,
from
right.
this building, but how are you guys handling those kind of challenges?
Well, I think you look at it from the perspective of how the game is presented to the nation and to the world during the week, and then the hosting of the Super Bowl itself. And so our focus at the host committee is really more about the latter, and the NFL focuses on the former of how it's presented, you know, how the media covers it during the week, how the media covers it during game day. We look at it as somewhat of an advantage, a West Coast Super Bowl. It's an early kick. It's a 3:35 kick, so it's you know, it's around 7:30 when the game is over. People will be wanting to go to dinner, and
absolutely,
there's not
going
to
yeah.
be this massive crush to get to the airport at midnight and that kind of thing. So we put that into our planning, you know, our operational planning in terms of game day. And then, you know, during game week, the Bay Area, as Daniel said, it's known for so many things. We opened earlier than normal. Normally a fan village opens on the Wednesday before Super Bowl 50, if you go back to the last several. We opened on Saturday just because we knew more people would be coming for this Super Bowl. It's the Bay Area. We haven't had it here in a long time. And so we wanted to make it special for the residents and then make it special for everyone who comes into town during the week.
And Tony, you guys will get a good night of sleep on the East Coast. You go to bed
right.
early after turning off the tube. So
that's right.
Actually, you guys should be thinking.
Early mornings, early nights.
Allegedly. I don't know about
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it works the other way. It's like super early mornings right. and you're still up too late.
Yeah, we've adjusted to, we're not going to bed at 8 o'clock. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, we'll do our best
not
to be up
week.
Bright and early every morning. Daniel Lurie is the chairman of the Super Bowl Host Committee. Keith Bruce, the CEO of the same. And one of your stated goals is to make this Super Bowl the most giving ever. What does that mean?
Michael, Thank you for asking that question. From day one, in that bid, 25% of all dollars we raised from our corporate partners was going back to our legacy fund, which we call the 50 fund. We wanted this to be about community first. We have all of you coming in from all over the country and the world, 5,000 members of the media. What better platform to show off all that's great about the Bay Area, but also the areas that we need to improve upon. We all have our issues, Jacksonville, San Francisco, we got issues. And so we were able to raise, hopefully by the end of this week, north of $13 million to give back to local nonprofits working on tackling poverty, bettering our environment, and improving our community overall. And that's something that we hope future Super Bowls, I imagine Jacksonville's going to want it to come back. We hope this can change the game and redefine what it means to host a Super Bowl, putting community first.
We're concerned with getting to the six-win plan right now, okay?
First things first.
Then we'll move on to that. And look, as you said, every city has its issues, okay? And first time I've been to San Francisco, first time I've really been to California for more than 5 minutes, not connecting on a flight.
Welcome.
But I have to tell you, I was struck, seriously, walking the street a little bit last night. There are a lot of homeless people in San Francisco. Is it a crisis? How is it viewed here? And are any of these efforts being, as you mentioned, poverty? Are any of these efforts done to help these people get a hand up?
Yes, we aren't denying the issue that we have here in this city and in this region. New York's in crisis. Los Angeles is in crisis when it comes to the homeless issue, and in San Francisco, we've had a problem for a very long time. The 50 Fund, we have donated millions of dollars towards homeless issues and homeless nonprofits. It's something, my full-time job is a place called Tipping Point Community, which is focused on fighting poverty. So that's my full-time job. So when you all leave town, I'm going to continue to be working on this issue. We have a problem, but we're not afraid to address it and to go right after it.
So how did you two, Keith, I know you've been working around the Super Bowl for a while. It's your 15th year working with the committee. But how did you two find each other? How did this come together for this group?
Yeah, well, it's 15 years of Super Bowls, but it's not necessarily with the committee. So the committee was formed after we won the bid 2.5 years ago. But my background is in large-scale global sporting events, representing mostly the commercial side of the business. So sponsors and broadcasters would hire my firm to help them manage their relationships with those events. So when you have that kind of responsibility, you get inside of the event. You understand how it operates, the logistics, the marketing, the fundraising, the programming, transportation. I mean, the two things that every major event have in common, transportation and security. And so you have to understand how to manage both of those from the inside out, and more importantly, how to bring the right resources to the table to accomplish that goal. And so over the course of 2 decades of working in that environment, when the Super Bowl was being bid on, Jed York introduced Daniel and I, and we started talking around the bid, and I was giving Daniel some thoughts on how we might be able to enhance the bid by just what do global events do in today's modern era presentation of the game. I mean, the Olympics, the World Cup, the Super Bowl, they're different now than they were 10 years ago. And so just brought some of that thinking to the table. And then ultimately sat down with Daniel for dinner after he did such a great job of winning the bid. And he said, okay, now we got to go do this. We won it. Now we got to do it. You want to help me do it? And I said, you know what? It would be an honor. I mean, 20 years of living in the Bay Area. I'm not a native like Daniel is, but born in the Midwest, but moved out here 20 years ago. So it's home to me and to my family. And to be able to deliver the 50th Super Bowl for this region, it's a tremendous honor. I'm grateful for Daniel and the team that brought the Super Bowl here to hire me as a CEO.
Well, we hope it's a banner week for you guys and everything comes off the way you expect. The most important question, I say for last, who has the extra Warrior tickets for Saturday night? Is it you that I go to for those Warriors Thunder tickets?
I always point to Daniel.
How's that whole thing work?
We got to get Steph Curry on the phone.
If you can get Steph Curry on for 5 minutes on our show, we'll pass on the tickets. We'll take Steph. Yeah, he wouldn't be mobbed if he hit. I wonder if the guys, any of those guys, obviously they're in town this weekend, if they make it over. Usually a lot of the local athletes, celebrities come in.
They're actually going to the White House on Thursday.
Oh, is that right?
And the Wizards Wednesday night. White House Thursday. They'll be back in town, hopefully Friday.
Yeah, they worked my Knicks last night.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I was talking to Rick Welch yesterday, and he said that the hottest ticket besides the Super Bowl was that Saturday night Warriors-Thunder game.
So I hear.
Don't doubt it.
So 200 bucks to get in the door is what I was saying. So, you know, whatever you can do, guys, it's fine. Daniel Lurie, chairman of the Super Bowl host committee. Keith Bruce, the CEO of the Super Bowl host committee. We appreciate the time, guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Have a great week.
All right, there you go, the guys who are putting on the event here, Tony. And, again, I just want to make this clear on our behalf. You know, when we bring up this homeless situation, it's not something where we're saying, oh, look how disgusting this is or whatever. It's just it's hard not to notice it when you walk around the city of San Francisco.
No, it really is. I mean, we were riding the shuttle on the way in today, and there was one street, you know, I still don't have any idea where I am in this city ever, like on any of these shuttles. Like, I just get turned around so much riding around San Francisco, but there was one street we walked down where it was a block, and it was, you know, five or six just lined up. You know, because it rained last night, too, they were trying to get under some kind of cover and under blankets, but they were all lined up on the left side of the street. It's a serious situation.
It's not only San Francisco's problem, but it's a, you know, a problem everywhere. Anywhere there are homeless people, one is too many, but it's just, again, it's hard to not notice that when you walk around the city. So I wanted to see if these guys were, you know, some of those efforts were being done to help those less fortunate, and it sounds like they are, so that's a good thing. And, you know, as much as we give the NFL grief for, you know, charging money to get into Media Day or opening night, as they now call it. They rebranded the hell out of that, by the way. You see, when Eric Davis and whoever the young lady is from NFL Network got up there to intro last night, it was all opening night presented by Gatorade, opening night presented by Gatorade. They're pushing that hard. The NFL does do a lot of charitable stuff as well. So, you know, as money grubbing as they can be in certain instances.
Right. And hopefully there's a real financial impact on the city of San Francisco that can trickle down. You know, and, you know, we've seen stories just in recent years. I mean, FIFA and what went on with the World Cup down in South America and all the promises that were made to that country that we're dealing with a much worse poverty problem than we're dealing with anywhere in the United States. Nothing got done. None of those promises were kept. And, you know, it's at least hopeful to hear guys that were in positions like we just talked to there feel like there is a need, that if we're going to have something this big in this city, that this is going to be part of what we're doing, is going to try to help somebody out that is dealing with a really, really tough situation right,
right.
now.
Right. The issue won't go away, but we will turn the page here as we focus on the game at hand, and that is the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. And what we were able to accomplish on opening night was talk to a lot of the players in particular who are playing in this game, a lot of the starters who are playing in this game. We don't bother. By the way, if anyone wants to call and tell us what Peyton Manning said last night, that would be great. We don't sit there and listen to what you know, everyone's saying at the podium.
Turn on ESPN, please.
Right. Turn on ESPN, whatever you like. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that, look, I'm sure there are a lot of interesting things. It looked like Peyton was having a good time up there yesterday. It was maybe 20 deep. About a half an hour before he took the podium, but we wander around, get as many one-on-one interviews as we can. So we'll start with the Denver Broncos coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt on location in San Francisco. Thanks in part to our friend Kevin Green, certified public accountant. Tax season just about on us, and in today's economy, well, in any day's economy, every dollar counts, and that's why I trust certified public accountant Kevin Green to handle my returns. When you go to a CPA, the idea is they should be able to save you as much in tax savings as their cost to you. Kevin Green's done that for me. He's done it for me for years and a lot more. Kevin offers preparation of personal and all business income tax returns. I'm incorporated, by the way. I need that. I'm not a good bookkeeper. He does bookkeeping services, payroll tax return services, and you know what? I changed my status from being a W-2 employee to a subcontractor. A lot of people may be undergoing a transition like that. If you've got questions or any kind of tax questions, call Kevin and his office at 904-332-6500. His offices are centrally located right across from Tinseltown, 4540 Southside Boulevard, Suite 303. That's 904-332-6500 for my friend Kevin Green, CPA. He is the man I trust when it comes to my money. In tax season, you can as well. Jaguars today on location for Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, California. Coming back, we'll hear from some of the members of the AFC champion Denver Broncos on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. A lot of Gator fans there. You've got a couple of Gator teammates here. What is your message for Gator Nation on who they should be rooting for this Sunday?
I mean, it's pretty clear that, you know, you got to root for the orange and blue. You know, we have three Gators on the team. I don't think Carolina has any. So, you know, I got a lot of friends back in Gainesville that, you know, saying they got all these, you know, watch parties and everything already set up. So I know the love's there, and I know Gator Nation is behind us too.
That's Max Garcia, the former Gator offensive lineman, now for the Denver Broncos. I did not see Lorente McCray last night.
I didn't see him either.
Right?
It was funny. I saw Martineau before everything was getting started down on the floor, mm-hmm. and he was like, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Usually there's, you know, a handful of Gator Seminoles for both teams that you're trying to get, maybe Georgia Bulldogs, that kind of thing. There wasn't a ton of that on the floor last night. There was a handful, and I think we got them all. that were there.
We got them all
much.
Except for Lorente McCray. Yeah. I mean, we talked to Max Garcia. You won't hear. I'll be honest. It was a terrible interview. Well, the two of us were both like, you know, it was like one of those things you get thrown in. Oh, you don't expect to be talking to this guy next. And I asked him some dumb questions. He lost his train of thought in the middle of it. I lost my train of thought. I was like, you know what? Let's hear his message, Gator fans, and move on from there. But we did have an opportunity. We both spoke with Andre Caldwell.
Yeah.
Your interview will air tonight on the Fat Tony Show. I like to call it Fat Tuesdays.
It works for me.
Right now, here's Bubba Caldwell. I got a chance to talk to him yesterday. We got Bubba Caldwell here. Bubba, for you, second time around with the Denver Broncos back in the Super Bowl. Want to take it one outcome better this time, right?
Yeah, you want to have a better outcome last time. You know, second time around, hopefully we learn from the first experience and get better and can win this game.
You played for some pretty good quarterbacks in your time, college and the pros, but to get to this stage of your career with one of the best, what's it been like?
It's just a blessing. You know, it's hard to get here and to be here for a second time with the greatest quarterback to be in to ever play the game. It's a great experience. You know, I learned a lot from him. He makes us a lot better, and I think we got a good chance.
Yeah, we don't even need to mention his name. We know what we're talking about there. Brock Osweiler, though, did a hell of a job for you guys coming into the street. Just talk about what you've seen in him, and who knows, maybe one day he is the quarterback of the future for you guys.
Oh, he did a great job. You know, he came in, and he won 6-7 football games. I can't remember. He led us, but we expect that from him because he came in and trained and worked every day as if he was a starter. So when the opportunity finally arose, it was natural to him.
It's a little bit different. Last time you were here, Peyton had thrown 55 touchdowns. Right. I mean, it seemed like every 5 minutes another one was going down. A little more balance this year, a little more smash mouth when you want to be, right?
Oh, it's a lot different. You know, like I said, we were blowing a lot of teams out first go round, putting up a lot of points. This year has been a grind every week, you know, close games down to the wire. And, you know, I think that made us a better team. And, you know, we just confident in ourselves and we feel we can win at any game.
You're the number one seed in the AFC. You haven't taken a backseat to anybody all year long. But do you guys enjoy the fact that the odds makers make Carolina the favorite? The public likes Carolina?
We definitely enjoy that. You know, we feel like we got our back against the wall. People are against us. They don't believe in us as much as they should. But, you know, that gives that chip on our shoulder, and we're going to go out there and prove them wrong, hopefully.
Now, you got a couple of former Gator teammates on the squad as well, Max Garcia, Lorente McCray. Right. Kind of fitting you guys wear the orange and blue once again, right?
Yeah, I get stuck in that orange and blue. I love, you know, same color as my alumni. You know, we got some Gators, and we all play our roles on this team.
You keeping tabs on what's been happening there? You a fan of Jim McElwain?
I watch them every Saturday. I keep a tab on them, their recruits and everything. So, you know, I get there probably once a year during the offseason, but I keep tabs on them.
Gator Nation probably forgive you for catching a couple of touchdowns from a Tennessee quarterback this week, right?
Yeah, I think they'll forgive me. I think they'll put that in the past and embrace me if I do catch a couple of them from them.
8 years in the league, man. The average career in the NFL is like 3.1 seasons. Do you ever envision this?
Never. It was a dream of mine, you know, but I never knew it would be a reality. You know, I dreamed this since I was a little kid, and for it to be 8 years strong in this league is just such a blessing.
Hard work paying off.
Hard work definitely pays off.
All right, good luck this week, man.
Thank you.
You never know where the heroes are going to come from. Who knew David Tyree's name before the Super Bowl? Maybe Caldwell can have that kind of moment. You have those unsung heroes, it seems like, every year once we get to this game here coming up on Sunday. We wanted to talk to C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman, and you're going to hear from C.J. Anderson, who Mike caught up with here in just a moment, but Ronnie was just too small.
He's quick and elusive.
We couldn't find him in the crowd of people down there on the arena floor last night, but here's Mike talking with C.J. Anderson last night at opening night.
We got Broncos running back C.J. Anderson here. C.J., a lot different for you since the last time you've been in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Bigger part of this offense, bigger part of the game plan. What's it like coming back the second time?
It just feels good. You know, we get an opportunity to prove ourselves and just try an opportunity to win another championship.
different kind of team as well. That team was really based on a high-powered passing game. A lot more balanced this time around. You think that's fair to say?
You can say that. I mean, we just try to do what's best. You know, we're going to do what presents best to us. If that's throwing the ball, if that's running the ball, we're going to try to do whatever the defense gives us on Sunday.
You like the combination you've got with Ronnie Hillman? You different styles, a little bit of versatility in the backfield?
Yeah, you know, we played with each other for 3 years, so me and Ronnie pretty much know how we do. When we talk to each other on the sideline, we usually get the things we want to get done, and it's been a good thing.
Obviously, you know, Peyton Manning could be his last game. We don't know. I don't think he probably even has shared his final thoughts on that with you guys. What's it been like to you, though, early in your career to be able to play with a guy this legendary?
I just tell everybody, man, I couldn't start my career off better with 18. I mean, Peyton is just one of those guys, pro, on and off the field, and what he does is amazing. So I'm just glad I got to learn from him a lot, and hopefully I can keep learning a lot more before he wants to give it up.
People talk about maybe physical limitations. Mentally, he does a lot at the line of scrimmage, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's still, I mean, you know, he can still throw the ball, too. You know, Pete, that's what he does. I mean, he's been known in his league for what everything he can pull out of the line of scrimmage. So, you know, hopefully that works out for us this Sunday.
I think John Elway wanted to make you guys a tougher, more physical team from a couple of years ago. The defense, certainly the best in the National Football League. And, again, combined with that balance on offense, the ability to run the ball, you feel like you've got the ability to play smash mouth more so if you want to.
I just think we play football the way we need to. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, even when we were pass happy, we still put up, we got here, we got to a point. But I just think we play football the way we need to. And right now we're just trying to go win the Super Bowl.
Honestly, guys like us, I'm sure, are a distraction. You'd probably focus on the game if you had your druthers. But being through it for the second time now, does that give you guys maybe a little bit of an advantage? A lot of guys on Carolina haven't been through this process.
I wouldn't know, man. It's all about how you do play Sunday. When the ball's put down, you got to go play Sunday. That's one thing I do know.
You guys feel like, obviously, number one seed this year. I think a lot of people thought maybe New England was the team of the postseason or somebody else. Do you use that chip on your shoulder a little bit? Carolina's a favorite in this football game?
We always underdogs. That don't bother us.
You're not always underdog. Professional players like to think you're always underdogs, don't you?
That's just the truth.
Hey, CJ, terrific season for you guys as a team. You got to get one more. You got this close before. Have you allowed yourself to kind of dream about what it could feel like to hoist that Lombardi trophy?
Nah, you kind of stay in the moment. And right now the moment is preparation on a good team in Carolina. And, you know, we're just trying to go out there and take care of business this Sunday.
That's the way to get it done, right? You got to take care of the details or you're not going to have that opportunity to win it.
Totally agree.
All right, CJ, good luck to you this week, man.
All right,
man,
thank you.
Tony, that might not be the last time we hear me asking about the envisioning winning the Super Bowl question. It's kind of my wrap-up go-to right there.
It's a pretty good question.
Well, it is. You know,
I probably used it once or twice last night myself.
It seems like an obvious question to ask, and we'll find out if you ask that of the future Jaguar, the guy I think a lot of Jaguar fans want to hear from right now, defensive lineman for the Denver Broncos, Malik Jackson. Here he is.
Here with Malik Jackson on opening night of Super Bowl 50. I saw you hyping up the crowd as you came out there on stage. You're excited, man, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited, man. You gotta love this stuff, man. It's definitely something that you enjoy. I mean, all these fans, all these people here that are rooting for you, all these countries, people want to talk to you, and just it's just an awesome blessing, man, to be a part of it. You know, you'll never forget this, no matter what.
Second time around for you. How is the preparation different this time than last time?
I definitely know what to expect. You know, I definitely know that not to get caught up in all the extravagant stuff and all the parties and all the what's going on outside. You know, I definitely know why I'm here, what I'm doing, and how we're going to do it. So I think for me it's just being able to stay in the moment and being able to know I'm here for a football game.
Any sense of trying to win one for Peyton on his way out the door? What's the conversation about that in the locker room?
Man, it's not really a conversation. It's been our goal all year. You know, we want to win one for Peyton. You know, there's a lot of talk about him maybe in his last year. And you got guys like D-Ware who you want to win it for who hasn't been here at all. Owen Daniels, you know, some of the things that you got so many guys that, and you want to do it for Kubiak too, but you got so many guys here that worked their butts off to not get nowhere near this far. And to be able to help these guys get there and be a part of it, just awesome.
The defense has been the strong part of this team all year. The defensive line has been dominant at times, especially there in the AFC Championship game. Do you guys feel like sometimes you just put it all on your shoulders and the offense is going to do whatever it does?
I think we just do our part. It's one of those things that we just do what we have to do. We can't complain. We can't say, oh, offense didn't do this, or oh, offense didn't do that, or oh, McManus missed this, and McManus did that. We just got to go out there and play defense. If we need a stop at the end of the game, we're going to go do it because that's the type of guys we are, not because we're like, oh, offense. You know, we don't play offense. We don't coach offense. We play defense, and that's what we get graded on, so that's what we go out there and try to be the best at.
What's it like playing next to a guy like Von Miller every day?
It's awesome. It's fun, man. Definitely a character. Definitely somebody you can have fun with. Knows exactly what he's doing. Man's just an animal. Man knows what it, man just rushes his butt off. And when you got some people like me, Wolf, and the D-Ware, Antonio Smith, Vance Walker, Sylvester Williams, it's one of those things that when we have guys who are cerebral like that and can work together, it goes very well.
I talked to Sly. He doesn't seem to ever want to dance. He said he's never danced in his life. I think Vaughn dances enough for all you guys, right?
I think so. You know, Sly's more of a Fat Joe lean back type of guy. You know, just holds the wall up and just, you know, really just leans his shoulders left to right. You know, he's not, I mean, you know, those big guys, man, they're not really big dancers. You know, their feet start to hurt, you know.
How about Cam Newton? Tough to match up against him. What kind of game plan do you guys have going in?
Stop the quarterback first, you know. Got to go out there and stop Cam. Stop the running game and get past that O-line group. You know, they're a great group. They got some Pro Bowlers on that line. Very well coached, so we definitely got to go out there and be on our P's and Q's. And like you said, can't let Cam use his legs when the corners are back there doing a great job covering the receivers.
I know you said you like watching Vaughn dance. How about Cam Newton celebrating first downs, touchdowns? Any of that stuff bother you?
I mean, like I said, the other guy, it doesn't bother me when he's playing other teams. But, you know, when he plays us, we're going to definitely try to limit all that. And, you know, when we make plays, we just got to dance too, you know. So can't let those little things get to us. You know, we just got to be able to play the whole football game and keep our poise.
Free agency coming up for you as well. Have you thought about it at all?
Of course you think about it. You don't know where you're going to live the next few years. You know, it's one of those things that everything's uncertain. But the only thing I control is playing football and trying to give Mr. Elway a good reason to keep me. And that's what I've been trying to do, just work my butt off. And, you know, that's it. That's all I can do. So, yeah.
Well, you're talking to Jacksonville right now, so just keep it in mind here in a couple months when free agency opens up. Just keep the Jaguars in mind.
Hey, man, you know, anything is business, man. And if that's my new home, that's my new home. But I'll definitely keep my eye open for you.
I appreciate it, Malik. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yep, Malik Jackson going to keep Jacksonville in mind in a couple months.
For you.
Yes.
Yeah, full
so,
credit.
So if the Jaguars sign him, Dave gets no credit. It's all me. Opening night, Super Bowl 50. I sold him on Jacksonville in that 5 seconds.
We had a Fat Tony and a Fat Joe. We had it all going on.
Reference right there.
Right there.
One more Broncos interview here. The starting safety for the Broncos, Darian Stewart. Mike caught up with him on the floor last night.
About it this week, you said you're fine, you're healthy, you feel good. Is that the case?
Yes, it is.
Ready to go for Sunday?
I am.
All right. Well, every week in practice, you go up against one of the all-time legends, a quarterback. Different kind of guy going to be lined up across from you this time. Cam Newton, when you watch him on tape, what jumps out at you?
And just his arm strength, man, and just athletic ability, you know, and able to just to make plays with his leg.
How difficult is that for a defensive back when you've got a quarterback that can extend the play? When the guys flush him out, your job's not done yet.
Oh, man, I mean, it's just something we just have to be cautious of and just have to just be mindful of and just cover the receiver twice, man, and just allow our rush to get there.
Obviously, you've done a good job with that. Number one defense in the National Football League. For you guys, the guys up front mean everything, don't they, to get that pressure, make your job easier?
Absolutely, man. Like I said, we all in this together, man. That's what got us here, most definitely.
You look at this wide receiver core that Carolina's got, you know, they say a bunch of no-name guys, no one guy stands out. What do you see that stands out?
You know, some playmakers, man. Guys out there that will, if you sleep on them, will make a play on you. And, you know, it's the NFL, man. Everybody's here for a reason. And they're here in the Super Bowl, so they obviously did something right to get here.
And obviously they're scoring a ton of points as well. I mean, so, you know, a lot of people want to make this defense versus their offense. Obviously, that's way too simplified. You've got to look at every aspect, special teams. Can't overlook anything here.
Not at all, man. You said it. Special teams is key, and I think we just have to win on all three phases, man, and be efficient.
What's Wade Phillips meant to this defense this year?
A lot, man. And he's done a great job just leading us, man. And I'm happy to play for him.
Personality-wise, what is he like? Is he a laid-back guy? Is he a taskmaster?
He's a taskmaster, man. He always challenges us to work, man. And tell us if it's important to us, we'll find a way to get it done. So we take that and run with it. So we just love him, man.
You're 60 minutes away from the pinnacle of football, winning the championship. Have you allowed yourself to look ahead, what it could feel like, or do you guys, can you not afford to do that? And you got to really just remain focused on the details.
That's it, man. Just remain focused and just control what you're able to control, and just continue to work through this week and just sharpen your tools.
How tough is that to do, though? I mean, because this is everything that goes into this. You got people paying to come in here and see you guys talk to reporters for now. It's kind of crazy this week.
It is, man. But, I mean, I'm enjoying it, man. You know, you grow up watching this type of stuff on TV, man. And just to be here right now, it's just a blessing.
Yeah, the opportunity is there for you, man. And whether it's your defense, their defense, whatever becomes the focal point, the chance to fulfill a childhood dream has got to be incredible.
Yes, it is, man. I can't wait.
Good luck to you this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
How young is Darian Stewart? He grew up watching things like me. Hopefully he's talking about the Super Bowl, not Media Day, because that really is making me feel old, Tony, if that's the case. All right, there you go. A sampling of the Broncos. Coming up next, we'll hear from some of the Carolina Panthers, including Jericho Cotchery, Charles Tillman, and Kelvin Benjamin, the former Florida State wide receiver as well. Thanks to St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church making the trip to San Francisco possible. And a reminder, check out JacksGreekFest.com, and you can get all the details on the upcoming event at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium, February 26th through the 28th. Great culture, great food, tons of fun. You don't have to be Greek to enjoy the Jacksonville Greek Festival, and that is coming up again. Go to JacksGreekFest.com for more details. The Carolina Panthers in the crosshairs next. This is Jaguars Today, live in San Francisco on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Second and nine. Go back on top. 15 yards on another laser from number one.
I'm pretty sure the official position is the Panthers receivers all suck, right? It's somehow Cam Newton, despite Ted Ginn dropping a half dozen touchdowns through mid-30s and accounting for another, 11 on the ground, something like that.
Yeah.
They did it without Kelvin Benjamin healthy this year, Tony. Did it without Stephen Hill healthy, who nobody would have noticed except Cam a couple weeks ago said, man, we would have really been able to utilize Stephen Hill this year like no one has been able to up until this point.
Just another big, tall, fast guy.
Right. But the fact is, whether it's Philly Brown, whether it's Ted Ginn or Jericho Cotchery, they've managed to get the job done along with Greg Olsen and give Cam enough weapons and given him a platform to have an MVP-like season. I would have been so sad if you weren't able to run down Jericho Cotchery after I forgot to turn on my recorder for what I thought was one of my better interviews yesterday. I know that's a low bar, but here's Tony catching up with the 33-year-old Panther wide receiver.
Here with Jericho Cotchery on Radio Row, and full circle, man. What would it mean to you to be able to win a Super Bowl in Carolina?
It would be a wonderful thing, you know. I'm obviously familiar with the state, you know, going to school there, meeting my wife at NC State, just a wonderful, wonderful place, you know. So it would truly be a wonderful thing, you know. I got a lot of friends there, you know, that were born and raised there, you know. That's just Carolina has been their team, you know, for a long time, you know. So just being able to share that moment with them, you know, would be a wonderful thing.
You've been playing a long time, Jericho. What does it mean to be on this stage, this spotlight now?
Just a wonderful blessing, you know. Just think about, you know, the grace that has been extended to me in this moment. You know, as a Christian man, you know, you're undeserving of anything that's good that's coming your way, you know. And so just being able to experience this at this point in time is just something I'm appreciative of. And, you know, just try to soak it all in and you know, and just continue to be thankful for it.
Panthers receivers have received some criticism. Kelvin Benjamin goes down in preseason, but you guys picked up the slack pretty easily this year. Cam Newton's been outstanding. Have you played with kind of a chip on your shoulder with the conversation in preseason when you lost Kelvin?
Well, I think, you know, for us, we've always tried to focus on getting better as a group each and every day, working on something to get better, working on your weaknesses, you know, even working on your strengths, getting those better, you know. So that's what we've tried to focus on, and obviously when you have a great quarterback, you know, your skill set gets highlighted. And, you know, I think that's what has happened this year. Cam has played unbelievable ball, and, you know, everybody has been able to see, you know, the skill sets of each receiver.
What has it been like to watch Cam mature?
It's been great, man. You know, he has unique abilities, you know. That's the word that keeps coming up, unique, you know. And when you put in the time that he puts in, you know, those things are going to show up. You know, a lot of people don't put the time in, you know, when they have those unique abilities. They think they can just roll out the ball and it just goes their way. But he puts in a lot of time, and I think everybody's getting to see it right now.
What do you feel like the ceiling is for Cam Newton?
I can't point it out. To be honest, you know, he's that unique, you know. The ceiling, I can't really point the ceiling out. You know, whatever, however you want to categorize them, pocket, out of the pocket, you know, however you want to categorize it, I can't really point it out.
How difficult is it to match up with this Denver secondary, maybe the best in the league?
Well, they present a tough challenge. They're the number one defense in the league. They play really well together as a defense. You know, whether, you know, the cornerbacks or the secondary is holding up in coverage to get guys sacks, or the guys are getting it to the quarterback fast and, you know, allowing them to jump routes, or whatever the case may be. They play really well together, and, you know, that's why they're at this point right now, and that's why they're the number one defense.
Do you try to envision the game on game week, try to figure out what's going to happen in the game, and what do you see happening Sunday for you?
Well, for me, I just, you know, preparation-wise, you just try to go through everything that, you know, all of the situations that could come up. You know, you go through those things like that. You know, that's how I approach it. What I see on film and how I can do this on film and whatever may come up, you know, in the game, you know, just try to go through those different type of situations and see what happens on Sunday.
Thank you, Jericho. Good luck.
Thank you.
Jericho Cotchery, a thoughtful veteran guy in that Carolina locker room and an easy guy to pull for on a week-to-week basis. He's been somebody that I've enjoyed watching play for his entire career. He's been willing to do that dirty work since he got into the NFL, and it was fun catching up with him last night. Charles Tillman, Peanut, as he's commonly known. Mike had the opportunity to catch up with Charles on the floor, and while he's not going to be able to play in this Super Bowl, still interesting to hear the thoughts of Peanut Tillman as he's playing with one of the best secondaries in football.
All right, we've got Charles Tillman of the Carolina Panthers here. Charles, obviously Super Bowl is the pinnacle of a player's career. How bittersweet is it for you to be injured while your teammates had the opportunity to take the field on Sunday?
You know what? I mean, I might be injured, but at the same time, I'm a fan of my teammates. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to watch them play. You know, I think I have the best seat in the house. You always, as a competitor, you want to be out there on the field, but you know what? Right now, I'm not able to be out there, so I'm just trying to be the best teammate that I can be.
You have always been known as a guy who's got a knack for taking the ball away and making plays with it. Do you see that element in your Carolina Panther defense?
Yeah. I mean, I think we led the league in takeaways, you know. So that's just something that I was taught in Chicago, something we do here in Carolina. You know, I think the guys do an amazing job of taking the ball away themselves without me. You know, that's just something that Coach McDermott, Coach Vare, that's just something that we preach all the time on defense.
Cornerbacks, you got to feel very confident. You got to feel like nobody can make a play on you. Josh Norman's got that confidence, right? He wears it on his sleeve. You weren't always that way. You didn't always wear it on your sleeve, but is it? Do you see that in certain players that they need to express that to play their best?
Yeah, I think that's just Josh's personality. You know, our personalities are pretty different, but you know what? I think that's one of his strengths, of wearing his emotions on his sleeve, and that allows him to play better.
For you guys on the back end, the front four, or the front eight, as the case may be, with
yes,
you guys
sir.
Rotating them in, obviously go hand in hand. The pressure that they apply makes your job easier. Tell us about the job they've done this year.
Well, I think when they make our job a lot easier. You know, it all starts up front, and I think we got the best four in the business. I love our guys up front. You know, they make my job a lot easier. You know, it means that I don't have to cover as long, you know, with those four guys getting off the ball.
Cam Newton, maybe an MVP in the regular season. I'm sure he'd like to be a Super Bowl MVP more than that. What did you see out of the quarterback that you went up against in practice so many times?
Dominance. He dominated all the time. And, you know, I think when you're a competitor like Cam, like all you want excellence. And I think this year he's matured from last year to this year. Or just look at when he got in the league, and I think each year, you know, he progressively got better. And I think right now he's hitting on all cylinders. He's having a career year.
Yeah, no question about that. A lot of people are focusing on your team's offense, Denver's defense. Certainly the Panthers' defense has been spectacular this year as well. Do you like maybe coming in not having as much acclaim as the other defense? You're a little bit under the radar?
I don't really think it's about claim to fame as far as, you know, if their defense is better, if our defense is better. You know, figures lie and lies figure. So at the end of the day, if we go out and we play well and we do what we're told and we play within the scheme of our rules, I think we'll be successful. So, I mean, when you start talking about this team's better, that team's better, like, just go out and play. You know, we let our play do our talking for us.
Hey, Peyton Manning's not the only guy on Denver's offense, but certainly a focal point for understandable reasons. You played against him in your career at this stage or just throughout his career. What kind of pressure does he put mentally on a defense?
I think he puts a ton of pressure on your defense just as far as, you know, the ability of, you know, the way he can throw the ball. Obviously, I don't think he has the arm strength that he used to have, but he's still able to make the throws that he needs to get his team to win.
Looks like Ron Rivera wants you guys to have fun, embrace the moment, enjoy it, right? Yeah. You don't get here all the time. What does that attitude mean when it comes from the coach to let the rest of you play with the freedom to have that fun on the field?
You know, all season long, he's basically just told us to be ourselves, keep our personalities. You know, don't be above your personality, don't be up below your personality, but just be yourself. You know, and I think that's something that all 53 guys, plus coaches, I think that's something that we've done all year long, and that's helped us out.
What's something about him in terms of his coaching style that the typical NFL fan might not know?
Coach Rivera, his coaching style, he's real loose, he's real chill. The fact that he tells you, hey, keep your personality. Like, we got some crazy guys on our team. We got some quiet guys on our team. We got mellow guys on our team. We got hyper guys on our team. Hey, be you. Do you. Be yourself. And, again, that's been the DNA of our team, and it's helped us out.
This franchise came into existence in 1995. Obviously, Super Bowl means a lot to any set of fans. What in particular would it mean to the Carolinas?
So win a Super Bowl. Wow. You know, one team, two states. I think it means – I don't want to say it means everything, but I think what it would just – community support. You know, I mean, even if we don't win, I think we have some of the best fans in the league. You know, they gave us a great send off. I mean, it was awesome. You know, the amount of support that they've given us day in and day out is truly amazing.
Well, listen, man, enjoy the week. Despite the fact you won't be on the field, as you said, best seat in the house. Good luck to your teammates and yourself this weekend.
So. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go, Charles Tillman of the Carolina Panthers, injured, but certainly. Maybe a borderline, I don't know, Tony, maybe over the borderline when it comes to the Hall of Fame. You talk about the impact plays
certainly
he's
could
been
be,
able
yeah.
to make. We've got an impact player as well from the world of NFL media. Jacksonville's favorite guy will join us next. Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com sits down with us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, back here live in San Francisco by Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, getting ready for Super Bowl 50. One of my favorite guys, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. I'm sure our entire audience feels likewise.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. I said I'm sure our audience loves you. Come on.
Yeah,
you know I like to twist the knife. There's no knife that needs twisting. I think you're a very fair guy. Every market thinks you're against them, and that makes you a fair guy, right?
Yes. I hate all teams equally.
equal opportunity offender. I like that. Is the job stressful for you at this point? Are you having fun? Because I see a few more gray hairs up top.
Well, no, I'm 50. I mean, regardless of whether...
That's why I keep it cut so close. You can't tell.
And you can't win when you're 50 and you have a full head of mostly dark hair. Because people think he's got a rug or he's coloring his hair or, no, I'm just, you know.
You're distinguished.
And there's some more grays are popping up. So people, oh, he's changing his rug out to put more gray in it like Cosell did to make it look like he doesn't have a rug. My wife wants me to shave my head like yours so people can see it grow back in.
And that'll be fantastic.
I'm afraid
that
if I do that, it won't.
You should do, well, that head of hair, are you kidding me? You'd have no issue. It'd grow back in a month. All right, let's get your honest assessment. Let's start. Forget Super Bowl 50. Super Bowl 51, the Jacksonville Jaguars. How's that sound to you? Honest assessment for what's been going on in Jacksonville, the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell regime. What's your take?
We've seen teams in the past who all of a sudden come out of nowhere and they become competitive. And the Jaguars are in a great division to rise up and have a great year. It's not like they're top to bottom murderer's row like the AFC North. God forbid the Jaguars are back in what used to be the AFC Central. Weren't they in that division?
Oh, absolutely.
Before 2002?
Yes. Yep.
There were six teams in that division. Now if you're in that division, you got the Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Browns. You don't want any part of that. AFC South. You know, and think about how easy it is. If you're in a weak division and you get a good schedule and you manage to be the number one seed, all you got to do is win two playoff games at home and you're in the Super Bowl. So
right.
I'm not saying, look,
everybody starts to conjure reasons for hope this time of year when everyone's 0-0 and they see like the Panthers. Nobody expected the Panthers to be dominant this year, and the Jaguars can point to some guys they have who really could make a leap next year, and you pick up some help here or there. You get a good draft pick here or there. You get something out of Dante Fowler Jr. this year because you got nothing out of him last year, and maybe there's a way it all falls together. So it's not impossible, especially when you have a quarterback who could be on the brink of breaking out. There's been that sense for the last year or so that maybe, possibly, he's going to break out, and maybe he will next year.
And that's the big question, I think. Will he continue that progression? Took a major step forward in playmaking this year, Mike, but he's got to cut down the critical errors, too many pick sixes, too many interceptions overall, led the league. But, you know, Derek Carr in the Pro Bowl, and deservedly so, I think. Teddy Bridgewater, I think he got in large part to his team's success. He's efficient. But he's not hyper-productive.
He got in because a bunch of people said no. I mean, the All-Star game became a some-star game this year for the NFL.
Understood. But I'm talking about in the pecking order,
right,
who did get in.
Right.
And then you had, of course, Jameis Winston this year. Mariota's coming on the scene. So, you know, you want to keep up with the Joneses. Do you think Bortles, 3-4 years down the line, what will he be? A top 10, a top 15? What do you see in
him?
Well,
the problem with calling somebody a top 10 quarterback at any level is when you start actually listing the quarterbacks.
Right, there's a lot of good ones.
You realize we need 20 spots in the top 10. I mean, he's got the potential to be one of the better quarterbacks of the NFL, but this year I think is going to be the key. He's going to be the Ryan Tannehill of 2016, where we're going to get a sense, is he up or is he down? And even Tannehill, who kind of went the other way this year when it looked like there was some promise early on, now they have Adam Gase in Miami, quarterback whisperer. He's going to get the most out of Tannehill. So the jury's still kind of out on Tannehill. The jury is definitely out on Bortles, but there's quiet optimism, maybe not so quiet optimism, that he can move in the right direction.
Mike and I are obviously very close to the situation in Jacksonville. We're broadcasting from the stadium every day, and sometimes that makes it difficult to see what other people can see from outside the city of Jacksonville. I know it feels like the national impression is that it's a good thing that Jacksonville is giving Gus Bradley a fourth year to extend that contract, to continue to allow him to try to get this build done this way. From your perspective, do you think they are doing the right thing by keeping Caldwell and Bradley intact?
Well, I mean, it's just a one-year Band-Aid contract, and Shad Khan, the owner of the team, has made the strategic decision not to have Gus Bradley in a lame duck year. Some owners allow their coach to be a lame duck, and some don't want anything to do with that. They think it'll be too much of a distraction. They think it'll be harder to hold the locker room together. So all this does is it gives Gus Bradley a buyout if he gets fired after this year. I think that the one-year extension means it's up or out this year. He's either going to earn a three-year extension or he's going to be gone during or after the coming season. And it's so funny, when the word first came out, and you scroll through Twitter and some of the national media types saying, oh, this shows a commitment to Gus Bradley. No, it doesn't. It shows no commitment to Gus Bradley. It shows a commitment to not have a distraction all year long about your coach being a lame duck. It is not a commitment to Gus Bradley. It's a warning shot to Gus Bradley. You got a one-year extension. That means you are either going to secure your future or you are going to be gone based on what happens in 2016.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, sitting down with us here on Radio Row in San Francisco, California. Mike, let's move on to some other issues. Starting with Peyton Manning, this HGH story with Al Jazeera, it seems to have not really grown legs, in part because the original source kind of recanted, although, you know, they claimed that they had some other sources on the story. Then they were going out of business. Where does this whole situation stand?
The Al Jazeera arm that did this report is not going out of business. It's still going to be around. And if Peyton Manning wants to sue Al Jazeera, he can. I don't think it's a good idea. Just ask Roger Clemens what happens when you file a defamation lawsuit and your entire life becomes an open book. At that point, Al Jazeera would have the right to go into the Geyer Institute's files and see every treatment that was given to Peyton Manning and Ashley Manning. And, you know, the reality is Peyton Manning's likely walking away after this game. At one point this season, when things weren't going well for him, he intended to come back for 2016. I think at this point now he realizes there's no way I can be better in 2016. There's no way I can go out on a higher note than however I'm going to go out in 2015. Based on what we saw in the middle of November, maybe the guy's going to be back. Now, looks like he's not. So what are they going to do?
What are they going to? And the one interesting twist of all this, assuming the NFL gets what it needs to do a full investigation, whether it's because Peyton Manning and Ashley Manning give authorization to the Geyer Institute to release all the information to the NFL but nobody else, which Peyton Manning has come close to saying he'll do that, but he hasn't said that yet, or if there's a prosecution to the Geyer Institute and the information becomes available and the NFL gets it, because the NFL has no power to go knock on the door at the Geyer Institute and say, give me all your Peyton Manning and Ashley Manning records. That's where this investigation quickly ends. But let's say at some point down the road they get what they need and they come to the conclusion that Peyton Manning was using HGH. If Peyton Manning at that point is working for the Titans or the Browns or some other team, what do they do then? And I asked the NFL, how do you impose discipline on somebody who's working for the NFL for a PED violation that happened while he was a player? Would you do something like that? And they refused to answer.
Too speculative.
But
that,
yeah,
said,
but
right?
That's where it would get very interesting. If he's the GM of the Titans or part owner of the Titans or running the Browns, whatever the case may be.
Can we make that happen, have him have this come up when he's GM of the Titans?
That would be sweet. Yeah.
I don't think you want him to be GM of the Titans. I really don't, because this guy's going to be successful wherever he goes and whatever he does. And, I mean, you look at Elway, and I had misgivings about Elway because I didn't think he really had the background and just the obvious talent that you don't just show up and say, hey, I'm going to play fantasy football. He had enough, and he got it done, and I think Manning would be even better than Elway putting a team together.
I think maybe one of the more interesting stories that hasn't been talked about much this week yet is Eugene Robinson is back at the Super Bowl as part of the Carolina Panthers coaching staff. Obviously had the run-in at the Super Bowl in Atlanta after being named the basically the NFL's Man of the Year, and then gets picked up for prostitution that night after that award ceremony. But he's back, and the NFL, I know they don't want to talk much about it, but I know Eugene is trying to warn Carolina players to not make that same kind of mistake he did.
Yeah, and you know, the subtext of that story, which I thought was fascinating, I found Mike Freeman's old report from the New York Times after that game when the Falcons lost to the Broncos, and one of the quotes from an unnamed Falcons starter was, we weren't surprised by this because guys were going there all week, and it was just a matter of time before somebody got caught. And Eugene Robinson got caught at the worst possible time. And, of course, it creates a distraction. The night before the Super Bowl, if it happens Wednesday or Thursday, different story. It happens Saturday night, the night before the Super Bowl. That creates a huge problem and a huge issue. The lights are going off.
They are going off.
You know, I've had my earthquake escape plan in mind all week.
Hadn't even thought about it.
Run like hell.
By the way,
don't know where or when or what. I'm just going to run like hell.
We're on the 19th floor of the Holiday Inn. You would think they would not have a room 1908 in San Francisco, California, right?
Yeah, that's probably not a good room.
Right, but we don't have that room, but it's right down the hall. So
I used to, when I was in college, there's a Chevron refinery up the road from here in Richmond, and I was in a work program. I'd go back and forth. I'd work out here for 3 months. I'd go back and do a semester of classes. And Easter Sunday, 1986, I was in about a 5.6 earthquake. Middle of the night, woke up, scared the crap out of me. And at the time, they tell you that the prevailing thought was get inside a door frame, I guess, because if the whole thing collapses, the door frame protects you. Now it's just get the hell out of the building. And I guess that's the thing. Know where the exit is and get the hell out of the building, because you're better off out in the street than inside a
emergency
building.
Emergency exit only right there on the wall.
There we go.
We're out of here. Calvin Johnson, Mike, announces or hasn't he's indicated to the team that he's going to retire. There are certainly some salary cap machinations that could be involved with this. Is he trying to ploy to get his release and maybe, play somewhere else? What do you think is the end game, how this whole plays out?
Well, if he just wants a release, the easy thing to do is just sit back and say, I'm not redoing my contract. I got a $24 million cap number this year, $16 million salary. I'm ready to earn it, and force the Lions to cut him. And I think the Lions would cut him if it came down to that. Now, maybe they'd try to trade him, but if he doesn't restructure his contract, nobody's going to take on a $16 million salary for a guy who has been banged up and isn't worth that much money. So if he just wanted out, easy way to do it. Say, hey, I'm ready to show up. I'm ready to collect my checks. So I'm starting to think that he really does want to step away. I'm not convinced that it's permanent. And he may not even be thinking this way, but I remember back in 2008 when Brett Favre retired the first time, and our memory's been jaded by all the times he's retired and unretired. When he retired in 2008, we believed it was it at the time because he'd been flirting with it for 5 years. He finally did it. We assume if this guy's finally doing it after flirting with it for 5 years, he must be serious about it. And it was a shock when he decided in July, hey, I still want to play. So I'm not saying Calvin Johnson would decide to still play this July, but what about if it's next March? And if he shows up, there'd be a $16 million cap charge immediately on the books for the Lions. What if they're within $16 million of the salary cap when Calvin Johnson shows up? He could force his way out if he decides to come back very easily next year by saying, hey, I got a $16 million base salary, deal with me. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a year off. Looking at what Adrian Peterson did with a year off, not that he wanted to take a year off, but how that year off can let the body heal, let the mind get right, and then you come back and you pick a team that you think is going to help you build a legacy, win a Super Bowl, cement your status for the Hall of Fame if that's important to Calvin Johnson, because I think he's borderline right now. We always, and that's why there's a five-year waiting period, we always overstate a guy's case for the Hall of Fame right when he's retired.
He's automatic.
I don't think he's got
he's automatic.
I don't think he's got look at how many guys with better numbers aren't in.
Right, but it'll be, I think they'll say, had he played, had he continued and chose to play.
Terrell Davis argument.
But he's played a lot longer than TD.
0-2 all-time in the playoffs. Now, if you look at Lynn Swann.
Do wide receivers get knocked for that? Lynn Swann did get in by his performances
no
in the postseason.
I agree with you. But he had one of the great performances of all time in Super Bowl X. And I believe, and I was 10 years old. I wasn't paying attention to the nuances of the sport. But in hindsight, I suspect somebody at the league office saw that performance in Super Bowl X and said, we got to get more plays like that into our game. Let's start. And maybe the wheels were already in motion to soften the rules and, you know, allow for more passing. But that was a performance that we hadn't seen before, because you just don't see guys catching that many passes because they weren't throwing that many passes. So, but that got him in. Johnson has none of that on his resume. He's 0-2 career in the postseason, and I think it would help him to if it has to be somewhere else, let it be somewhere else and get some success in January.
Before we let you go, Mike, Cam Newton obviously is the center of the storm here for Super Bowl 50, and it's made some pretty controversial comments in the last couple weeks, and really since he got into the National Football League. Do you like the way he handles himself both on and off the field? It certainly seems like it's helping Carolina to this point because they're playing this weekend, but do you like the way he handles things?
I don't have a problem with the guy. I mean, he celebrates. Big freaking deal. I mean, he doesn't. Now, you could say that sometimes the celebrations are a little bit too excessive, and this all really started when he was going on and on in the end zone and the Titans linebacker came over and gave him a hard time and they went back and forth. I mean, there is a point where celebration becomes showing up your opponent. But J.J. Watt is a lot more direct about showing up the opponent. The whole Andy Dalton, Red Ryder, BB gun thing that he butchered after that Monday night game when the Texans beat the Bengals, and the Zach Mettenberger stuff. I mean, Watt seems like more of a guy who will say things that maybe he shouldn't say. But with Cam Newton, there's really nothing he does that the average person could look at and say that's a problem. And I feel like this whole debate about is Cam Newton criticized too much and is there a racial component to it, I feel like it skips over the question of whether he even is a polarizing figure. Does the average fan fall into the I love or hate Cam Newton camp? I think it's I love or I'm ambivalent about Cam Newton. And once he starts getting some Super Bowl rings, then you're going to have love-hate, because you're going to have a lot of fans out there who resent the success of the Panthers and Cam Newton because they want their team to have that success.
I'm that way about people in general. All right, Mike, you have a lean, or do you have a, you know who you're picking for the Super Bowl yet?
You know, the favorites are 33-15 all time in the Super Bowl. That means a third of the time, roughly, the favorite loses. I'm trying to find a way to pick the Broncos. I'm working on a way to pick the Broncos because I just feel like we're setting ourselves up for another one of those, oh, crap.
Why didn't we see it coming? Right.
Yeah.
Could be the case. What do you have coming up on PFT Live today?
We got Dan Marino, Tim Brown, Marshall Faulk.
Charles Tillman.
Charles Tillman's coming up. We have like 8 total guests today. And later in the week, I mean, I can't keep them all straight. Eli Manning, Tony Romo, Archie Manning. I mean, I don't think they told them I'd be interviewing them. I think once they realize I'm interviewing them, they're going to all start bailing out.
I doubt that. I think you'll be fine. Mike.
Blake Bortles is going to be on, too.
Well, Blake Bortles is today or later in the week,
right? Tomorrow.
I think he's coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah. You got anything you want me to say to him?
Well, I think we've got a pretty good chance to get him on our show.
I don't know.
Yeah. Bortles, there's quite a Jaguar contingent coming this year because they're finally players that are starting to get into that realm where.
Oh, yeah, Allen Robinson's coming.
Allen Robinson's coming. Alan Hearns is coming. Yeah. Julius Thomas is coming. So, you know, Telvin Smith, I think, is on the fence, but finally getting some playmakers.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance, and that's all you want. When you're 0-0, you want to have that chance. And the Jaguars, by virtue of being in one of the worst divisions in football, have a chance.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Always good to see you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes. Mike Florio, one of the best in the business. I love him. I know Jacksonville does as well. We didn't get a chance to get to Kelvin Benjamin earlier, so we'll do that coming back. And a few more of the Carolina Panthers as well. Star Latulale, and if we have time, Graham Gano as well. Whatever we don't get to on the air here, go to 1010XL.com in the on-demand section. You can hear all that stuff. Plenty of stuff on the Fat Tony Show tonight here as well. Live in San Francisco, thanks to the generosity of the folks at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Don't forget about the Jacksonville Greek Festival. Go to JacksGreekFest.com. Get all the details. It's February 26th through the 28th at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. Back with more from Radio Row in a moment for Super Bowl 50 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Reivindícate, mi querido gatillero. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad. Va a llegar, va a llegar, va a llegar.
Se acabó, llegar. Se acabó. Ganó, ganó, lo ganó.
Ganó, lo ganó, ganó, lo ganó. Ganó, lo ganó. Y se va el potro de Indianapolis. Bien domadito, bien bañadito, bien afeitadito. Y se van despachaditos de regreso a casita, bien cabalgaditos, bien domaditos, y con el bozal en la boca.
That's the best.
I got crank it on, crank it on. That's all I got out of
all
that.
I got.
It's fantastic. It's the Carolina Panthers Spanish Language Broadcast Network talking about Graham Gano kicking a game-winning field goal there. We'll get to him momentarily. We're going to try to squeeze in a few last interviews here live in San Francisco. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, Big Country back in Jacksonville, and everybody behind the scenes back in Jacksonville helping us turn around the audio. We appreciate all the help. They make it all possible as well. St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, the ones who make the trip possible, along with travel and hotel accommodations provided in part by Kevin Green, certified public accountant. Got a chance again to talk to a bunch of the Carolina Panthers. Whatever you miss, go to 1010XL.com, go to the on-demand section, and you'll be able to hear that at some point throughout the course of the day or on the Fat Tony Show tonight as well. But Graham Gano, since we just heard that highlight, might as well start with a former Florida State kicker.
We've got Graham Gano here. Graham, what has your life been like over the last 9 days or whatever it's been since you earned a berth in the Super Bowl?
It's been exciting. A lot of planning, a lot of media. It's not as much as this today, but yes, it's been fun.
Has it been hard to focus? I mean, do you look at these things as something you want to embrace? It's a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe a multiple-lifetime experience, but is it something you just want to put out of your mind and get down to the task at hand?
No, it's not distracting. You know, Coach Rivera tells us to be focused whenever we're at work, and, you know, when we're not on the field, we can have fun with it and just enjoy the experience, but most of all, keep in our mind that Sunday is the most important time for us, and that's what we're here for.
Talk to a lot of your teammates, and they all talk about Ron Rivera the same way, that he allows you to have fun.
Yeah.
How important is that to a group of guys? Football is supposed to be a fun game.
It is. I don't think anybody will doubt the fact that we have a lot of fun on this team. It's funny. It's like we have a lot of brothers on the team. I've never had this kind of chemistry on any team I've been on before. So it's something special we have. And, you know, everybody's very selfless and just, you know, works as a team.
You've made your share of game winners in your career, obviously, never to win a Super Bowl. And I heard you answering the question a moment ago. You allow yourself probably throughout your life as a kicker to dream about that moment. What goes through your head when you prepare, visualize for that moment?
Just knowing that the millions of kicks that I've had in my career prepare me for those situations. I think a lot of people try to blow it up like it's obviously it's a big game, but I mean, when you think about it, it's just a regular football game. So I think that's what you have to keep in mind and just do the same thing you always do.
Well, that's easy for you to say because you've made it to this level. I think most people would say, wow, everything, you know, potentially the Super Bowl riding on one moment. Have you allowed yourself to think what the moment would be like when it's all done? Whether you kick a game winner or you guys win by 50, when the confetti falls, have you allowed yourself to visualize that?
Yeah, I've thought about it, but I mean, I think I'm just going to take it one play at a time. That's what Coach Harp's on, and not get ahead of ourselves. Don't play the game yet. Prepare for it, but play the game on Sunday.
I'm sure you'd rather be kicking a lot of extra points on Sunday. Your offense has been very good at scoring defensively as well. When you look at the season Cam Newton's had and just where he's come in his career, what are your thoughts?
I think every year I've played with him, he's improved, both as a player and as a leader. So it's been fun to watch. You know, he's by far the most talented athlete I've ever been around, and maybe the goofiest one as well. But you know, that's what makes him Cam. That's what makes him our leader, our quarterback, and that's why we have so much fun.
Matt, that makes your team, right? You got big personalities, yeah. And they express themselves.
Yeah, we're not short on personalities here. We got a ton of them. And, yeah, I mean, it's just so much fun playing for this team, and we really enjoy it.
Does Levi's Stadium have a reputation with kickers? You know, some stadiums have a rep as tough places to kick. Is it a neutral spot, or is it a tough spot, or what?
I think their old stadium might have been a little more difficult to kick in. It was, from what I heard, it was a little more windy. But, I mean, we get a lot of windy games. I've kicked on a lot of bad surfaces, and I feel like that's just prepared me for any moment. And even, was it Saturday or this past Sunday, I went out and kicked, and it was super windy, and it doesn't really bother me anymore.
Broncos have a few Gators on their team. You've got a few Seminoles on your team. Going back to your college days, a little bit of extra fun with that angle?
Yeah, well, I think they'll have to try and hold us back on Sunday from fighting each other, but just going back to our old rivalry. But, no, it's all fun. I always have a good time with the guys. You know, I never beat Florida while I was there, and they always let me know. So but it's all in good fun.
Hey, Grant, thanks so much. Good luck this week.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Back-to-back Florida State guys here, as we'll hear from Kelvin Benjamin here in just a moment. Kelvin, a guy that certainly probably would be at a podium if he had been healthy for
Absolutely.
This entire season. But instead, because of the torn ACL and preseason, missed the 2015 year. Tyler and I were able to corral him basically as the guys were entering the floor. By the time I got done with this little 2 minutes with Kelvin, there were about 20 media people around me, three different TV stations. But I was the first to get Kelvin coming in for opening night last night.
Here with Kelvin Benjamin, it is opening night at Super Bowl 50, man. How's it feel?
It feels great, man, to come out here, you know, be with the team, be in this atmosphere. You know, we having fun, man. We're taking it all in right now.
What's the season been like for you? I know it has to be frustrating going down in the preseason, but watching these guys accomplish what they have, what's it been like for you?
I mean, early on it was hard, you know what I mean? But after that, I mean, you know, you can't do nothing but love it, man, you know, because we're here now, you know what I mean? We had the Super Bowl, you know, and it's a team sport, so I'm here to support my team, man. You know, I'm all behind my team.
You've watched the criticism of Cam Newton here for the last couple years, but it seems to have really ratcheted up in the last couple weeks. What's your response to all that?
Man, just the growth, you know. I feel like, you know, everybody just wrapping their hands around him, man, you know, and believing in him and hopping in the car and going on a road trip.
People talk from the outside like something changed with Cam. You've been in the building with this guy. Did anything change between last year and this year?
Not since I walked into the building, man. He's been the same guy, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, people say that once things change on the field or success come. But, no, Cam been the same guy since he stepped foot in the NFL.
For you guys, y'all feed off that energy he has, the celebrating first down, celebrating touchdowns, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, it's entertainment. You know what I mean? It's entertainment. You out there, you know, out there to please fans, and the kids love it. So if you have fun out there, then everybody else have fun with it.
Do you feel like you've been a bit of a coach off the field for these guys, the wide receiver group?
I mean, yeah, trying to, you know, help my fellow receivers, like more like Devin Funch, you know, the younger guys. You know, more the older guys, they already kind of knew their roles. You know, just trying to piggyback, you know, be a coach, be a cheerleader for Funches, man, and get them going.
Head coach Ron Rivera obviously has experience in the Super Bowl before. How much has that helped you guys this last week or so?
I think just knowing, you know, helping the team, and just by our coach knowing that, you know, by being here, and just, you know, letting everybody know, you know, we got a job to do, you know, stay focused, don't get distraction, you know, leave all the clutter off the field, you know, and handle business on the field.
Is Cam Newton the best player in the NFL?
Oh, definitely, man, definitely. You can't pick too many quarterbacks and do what that guy can do, you know, it's crazy.
Thank you very much, Kelvin.
Thank you, man.
There you go, Kelvin. Thank you very much, because I'm about to get trampled by these two dozen people looking to get a word with Kelvin Benjamin. Not going to have time. Well, we might, but we'd be pushing our luck here to try to get Star Lotulelei in. By the way, it is Lotulelei, Tony, not Lutulele. I saw John Clayton talking to him, and I wasn't positive on the pronunciation, so I went up to Clayton when he was done. And I said, it's one question. Is it Lutulele or Lotulelei? And he goes, oh, it's Lutulele. So I went up the Star. I said, I better ask just in case. He goes, oh, it's Lotulelei. I said, well, you better talk to John Clayton then. He was appreciative of me asking to get it correct, the guy that a lot of Jag fans had hoped they drafted when he came out in the draft. Again, 1010XL.com, on-demand section, the Fat Tony Show tonight, 9 Eastern tonight for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, we'll be back on Radio Row tonight.
We will depart from there directly to the media party and the debauchery that will ensue. 3 hours of free booze for all the media in San Francisco and free food
It is one of the best perks of the week. Looking forward to that tonight and having a good time. We're going to hang around for a few more hours here on Radio Row in San Francisco, put some more interviews in the can for the rest of the week or whenever we can get to them. So look for those and listen for those in the days ahead. And I'll say this, as you talked about Kelvin Benjamin, had he been healthy, being worthy of one of those podium spots, one of the top ten. Isn't it, you walk in there, and it just struck me last night, and I tweeted out a picture of the podium. Brandon Marshall,
yep,
cast off from the Jaguars. And I'm not saying he had done anything that was deserving of this huge long-term deal, but...
No, and what I've heard is Dave wanted him back. It was just they couldn't come to terms on what that was going
to
be.
Well, he was gone, went to the Denver Broncos, and he was one of 10 Broncos, you know, less than 20% of the team that get a podium that they're... They basically pick who they think are the 10 best players on the team, and Brandon Marshall will be one of the 10 best players on a Super Bowl team.
He's been great out
this
there.
This Sunday coming up. He's been a tackling machine, and the Jags, the good thing is they've been deep at linebacker for the last few years, right? All right, wrapping things up here from day two on Radio Row. Had a blast. You can definitely sense from our perspective that the pace is picking up. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Thanks to all of the Panthers and the Broncos for joining us. Thanks to Daniel Lurie, the chairman of the Super Bowl host committee, along with Keith Bruce, the CEO of the same committee. Thanks to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. And a shout-out from a man, Major 904, at Aquarius MLW. He lives out in Berkeley. He's a big Jags fan. We've been trying to do something to hook up this week. I don't know if it's going to come to pass, but we're looking out for you. Jags on the West Coast representing. So shout out to Major 904. We appreciate him supporting the program as well, and all of you out there who do it every single day. Couldn't make the trip without St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church and their generosity. Benefiting Wilson's Children's Hospital, will make a sizable donation to them at the end of the week, and they make it possible. They'll check out jacksgreekfest.com for more information about their next great upcoming event later this month at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. And thanks as well to Kevin Green, certified public accountant, travel and hotel accommodations provided in part by him as well. For Tyler Devitt, for Fat Tony, for Big Country, great work back in Jacksonville, and all the folks behind the scene making it happen. I'm Mike Dempsey. We're signing off for today. It starts to get crazy over the next 3 days, including a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars in the house. Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, and maybe more. We'll endeavor to bring all of those to you live here on the program over the next 3 days. That does it for us for today in San Francisco. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!